This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. 50 years ago this week, a group of people broke into a downtown Milwaukee government building. Their mission was to grab as many military draft records as they could and burn them in protest of the Vietnam War. They were termed the Milwaukee 14.
Bob Groff was one of those 14 people. Today, he's still in Wisconsin and is a retired educator and community organizer. Groff sat down with Lake Effect's Mayon Silver and talked about what set the events of September 24th, 1968 in motion.
Well, there have been other actions before us, a major one being Catonsville 9 in Catonsville, Maryland. And Dan Berrigan, Phil Berrigan, and a number of people we knew were involved in that. So out of that action, it came the planning for this one here. So the people in Milwaukee were from all over the place. I was at Casa Maria and heard about it through the Catholic Worker, and I went without the retreat out east, and I became a member.
How did you start associating the 14 of you?
Well, I was in the Jesuits the year before, and for 7 years, and I started getting involved in St. Louis and the peace movement and stuff. And so it was a gradual thing, working with the poor and needy. So I came to Milwaukee. I was around Casa Maria Catholic Worker House, and I was active with students in Milwaukee. At that time, it was very active days. We did a lot of organizing. In Marquette, it was a big movement in Marquette against institutional racism that year. And so when I left the Jesuits that summer, it was just sort of a natural flow of my life.
And how did the target of the Vietnam War come about for the Milwaukee 14?
Well, in those days, that was the main war. Now we have 7 or 8, but it was the main war, and there was a lot of opposition all over the country. So it was a question that came up when I was in St. Louis about what was that all about. And in those days, we studied both sides, and then we took action. We believed that in those days that we could change things, and I think we did it somewhat, but we could change things. And that was the same with civil rights. I was involved with civil rights activities here in Milwaukee, Father Grappi and the marches. So we really believed we could make a change, and we did sometimes.
What happened on September 24th when you got caught because you had press at the occasion and you were burning the draft records and then the police showed up? What happened after that?
Well, you know, we did there. We sat around and we're singing songs and prayers. And then eventually the police came, the fire trucks came, and they just basically handcuffed us, took to the county jail.
What were some of the immediate legal consequences?
Well, legal consequences, we were charged with burglary, arson, and theft at the time. And we were put in county jail, and we were given a high, high bond by Judge Seraph at the time. And so we were there about 30 days before we could make bond. So we were and then later on, the legal consequences, we were also tried. We were prosecuted on the federal charges, but 12 of us went the state route, and then the legal consequence was we were tried, had a jury, we were convicted of burglary, arson, and theft, and served, given 2 years consecutively in the state prison, which some of us got paroled after a year, and I was one. We were sent to different places. I happened to spend most of my year at the Waupun Maximum Security Prison.
Did that give you an insight into the prison system?
Yes. I had been sent to a farm from there, and I was sent back, and I was upset about that. But I just felt it was better to be there with people that were really been a long time. And that's how I started the Independent Learning Center school with some other people. There was kids that were in trouble. And we were trying to get an education. They were kicked out of school. We're trying to get education for them. I started a school with Don Cotton, another member of the Milwaukee 14, and another young woman that was at the time who was working with unwed mothers. They were being kicked out of school, too. But that part of that was because of after that, I didn't really couldn't protest too much. I had to do something more concrete, and I did that after I got out, because I met with people that were there for serious crimes and had a whole life story to tell. Why I was there was a joke, you know, burning draft records. It was a joke, but it was good because I really appreciated understanding that. And I had a real passion for jail and prison reform ever since.
Did you have any regrets after serving that sentence or during of the sentence?
I think we expected longer. And some groups, there was a number of actions after ours, maybe almost 100. And some people got longer terms and some people got out, you know. So there was a whole series of, call it Catholic left or priest nuns, lay people, movements all over the country. Some people coming this weekend, next week, are from the Chicago 15, which was another action. A lot of people in Milwaukee were involved. There's all kinds of them afterwards. As a movie actually we're showing Sunday is called Hidden Stay. It's about all the actions that came afterwards and before. And it's there was a tremendous movement that lasted all the way until the draft finally was ended in 73. And the war was ended about the same time.
Do you feel like the burning of the draft records made a difference?
At the time, because at the time there wasn't computer systems and there wasn't electronic breakdown. So all the people whose files were burned were able to get out of the system, draft. All they had to do is move. And the time they got caught up with them, they didn't know where they were. And in fact, we got letters later on. I didn't realize how many people did that. You know, letters later on, 10, 20 years later, thanking us for that. And I don't think that was, you know, immediate in our mind, but it did work out that way.
What was immediate in your mind?
Well, we were trying to take a stand against the Selective Service system where people were forced to kill or be killed in the war. And we were taking a stand against the Vietnam War, which that was feeding at the time. We were in one war, and it was a major, you know, universal protest of that war. And it finally ended about the time the draft ended.
What are some of the protests that you think have been successful since the 70s, and do you feel protesting has changed since then?
Right. Well, in Milwaukee, the Coalition for Justice about Dontre Hamilton, one of our speakers is Marie Hamilton Saturday, and I was involved in that, and I thought that took direct action. We went to the streets almost every day in March and got some good results at the end. The training for police officers was finally changed. And they got sensitive training now for people with mental illness. And they got some justice for the police officer. He was fired. So I think that the movements like that, not too many of them. The Black Lives Matter is a good example of things that happen. And like Dontre Hamilton was part of that, maybe. What I have too much of is all these petitions and electronic media. You text people, you call the senators and congressmen, you go to talks about this, and you go to talks about that, and now we have 25 groups. But there's no action. There's no fire in it. And so we get more of the same. You know, we have liberals and Republicans all voting for this tremendous military budget, $718 billion this year. And I think I think we got insensitive to it, and we don't have the sense that change happens with direct action. We have the sense that change happens if I write senator or a call or I go to this talk. I go to some of them. I'm not against all these things, but nothing happens. It got worse. We have 8 wars going on right now. We only had one. and then we have more talks and more petitions, and we have more wars and more military spending. Military spending is outrageous right now in this country, in the arms, the sale of arms that was going on, and the support of people like Lockheed Martin by our congresspeople is ridiculous. And so people are suffering greater numbers of deaths in Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, all eight different countries were at war right now, and yet there's less sense of it. You know, we feel we can change by, you know, writing a letter or going to a rally or going to a talk. It's not happening. It's getting worse.
So what is the type of direct action that you would get behind?
Well, some of us are involved in trying to get Marquette to not host the military. Right now, Marquette hosts three departments of defense, the Army, Navy, and Air Force. Navy and Marines are together. And they actually do the training on campus, and they for all the kids from UWM, from schools in Kenosha, Carthage College, everywhere comes to this military base. And here's a Jesuit Catholic university teaching war and killing. One of the Jesuits that was involved, Dan Berrigan, involved in the Cadenceville 9 and other actions, he said it's schizophrenic to think that you can teach values, gospel values, and killing at the same place. So I'm involved in stopping that, but we're not too successful because we don't have the numbers anymore. One time in the 70s when Marquette, when we were active, we had thousands of youth fighting institutional racism in 68, fighting ROTC, 70. I have pictures of that days. It's not anywhere close. Right now, they have groups and they talk and they, you know, sign petitions. And we don't really feel we can do much about it right now.
But I do
what I can.
How would you aim to bring that spirit of 1968 and the nonviolent direct action to today?
We're trying to remember what we did. And I think there's a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. Some people who can't make it this weekend are in jail in Alabama for stepping on the Trident Center and doing some symbolic damage there. They've been in jail since March, and they got a ways to go. So there are people doing stuff all over the country. We just don't hear about it. In certain circles, Catholic workers' circles and stuff, we hear about it. But we don't hear about it, so I try to be a part of that. And there's hope that we can get more of a spirit that we had before, that we can make a difference by doing things, not by violent direct action. And that's the word I'm trying to encourage.
Thank you, Bob Graff, for speaking about this event.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bob Graff was a member of the Milwaukee 14, a group of 14 people who were arrested and charged with burglary, theft, and arson for breaking into a government building in Milwaukee and burning draft records 50 years ago this week. He spoke with WUWM's Mayon Silver.